Views and opinions expressed during the drive time with Dave Glover are those of Dave and his guests, and not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment for Dave? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now, here's Dave.
Thank you, Danielle, and welcome back to Northumberland 89.7's truly local drive time. I'm your host, Dave Glover. Well, joining me this afternoon, as always, for Consider This is Rob Washburn. And for those of you out there that are listening, let your friends know. You can listen on the World Wide Web, the Northumberland897.ca. We're talking about the food bank today. We're talking about Food Share in particular, the Food Share Food Bank. To pick up food from the Food Share Food Bank, for those listeners out there that need it, by the way, you'll need to visit the pickup location in either Port Hope or Cobourg. There is a map on their website that shows where you can find it. You can also contact them. Food Share Port Hope is open for food pickup every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to noon and again from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Cobourg's location is also open Wednesdays for pickup, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and again 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. They are also open in Cobourg on Fridays as well. So there's a convenient map The food bank. I read you that piece earlier from foodbanks.ca. We were talking about the hunger count, the most recent study that was put out by food banks across the Canada. 39% of food banks offer skill-building programs such as education or training, helping with budgeting and home economics, and also helping with employment searches. Now, this weekend, if you'd like to help out the food bank, you can do so. You can pump up for Fair Share. Saturday, November 22nd at your independent gas bar in Port Hope, they'll be hosting a fundraising event for Northumberland Food Share Food Banks. Food Share wants to pump up food inventories for the winter, help local families through your donations. Fair Share greatly appreciates your generous support for 2014. Joining me in the studio, as I said, Rob Washburn and Mr. David McKinnon. I thought it was David. Duncan McKinnon. Duncan, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and let them know what you do for Food Share?
Well, thanks, Dave. I'm executive director for Fair Share, Northumberland Fair Share Food Bank, and been doing that for a couple of years. I've been involved with the food bank for about 4 years, started doing fundraising and what have you, and joined the board, and then was asked to take over the executive director's position when George Leger passed away a couple of years ago. And he was a terrific guy, nicknamed Mr. Food Bank by many who knew him. They're very passionate about running the food bank for many, many years, and just a terrific guy.
And he will be missed, absolutely.
Yeah, and he's one of these people, and it's true in a lot of cases, where it might take five people to replace them, you know, in terms of because of all that they do.
Yes.
And there's another fellow in Port Hope, Peter Hills, who was much the same way. He just retired, 82 years old. He kept going like the Energizer Bunny for years and years. And he's very much missed. But the team in Port Hope have really rallied together and taken over his duties and responsibilities. Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the kinds of people you need, especially to volunteer, because this is a long-term commitment as a volunteer, I would gather. I mean, a lot of people will probably start off, if they're lucky, in high school volunteering for the food bank, realizing what the need is. And as they continue through their adult lives, they still want to give. They want to give back their time, their energy.
Yeah, well, we have a number of our volunteers who at one time in their lives were recipients of the food bank. So they want to give back to the community. We have a number of 50-plus types, the baby boomer crowd, seniors who are retired, who volunteer with us, and they do a fantastic job. You know,
can you give us an idea of who goes to the food bank? Because, I mean, you know, you hear, the food bank, it's all people, you know, they're nobody really worries about them. I mean, we don't know people that go to the food bank, but we do, don't we?
Yeah, we have some pretty good data. And it's, you know, I can say locally, for example, it's people from all walks of life. There are people that have been coming to the food bank for 15 years. You know, we know them well. We're not judgmental in terms of who we accept or, you know, so it's from all walks of life. We have people who, you know, there's a breakup of a family or somebody's lost their job. A lot of people are getting laid off. And so they need our support, and we're there to help them. And there's people that come in and out. You know, they're only temporary recipients. We can't forget, too, that 36% of the people that we help are children.
Wow, and that's well above the national average. So the national average, according to the most recent reports I read, is like 26%. So that's above the national average.
Yeah, it fluctuates, but when we're talking teens and children, it's about 36%.
Wow. So now you mentioned that, you know, people come to you, it's sort of a one-time thing, and then you have other people who've been coming for years. And one of the things we talked about before we went to air about this was the fact that food banks really, as they exist today, have only been around since the 1980s. I mean, prior to that, and you know, Rob and I, we talked about this beforehand. I mean, prior to that, there really wasn't a food bank. Now, there were places like the Fred Victor Mission in Toronto or the Salvation Army or crippled civilians, other places like that. But those were mostly church organizations. And you really had to be a member of the church to, in order to get the assistance that that you would now get from a place like food banks. Yep. Can we talk a little bit about the transition, if you will, from the only temporary once in a blue moon charity aspect of Food Share and to what it's become?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on the history necessarily of how food banks have evolved, but you're right. I mean, they're prevalent throughout communities coast to coast mm-hmm. now. In some areas, the Salvation Army plays a bigger role in running food banks. In other areas, it's the municipality. It's under their auspices. Here, we are an all-volunteer organization, and we're somewhat independent. We get some very good support from the county through the Food for All warehouse. But it's mainly the generous people in the community that donate to us that keeps us going.
Now the county and its involvement. You mentioned the food warehouse,
Food for All warehouse.
That's
yes.
right. My understanding is that it acts as an overarching organization that goes out and collects food. Could you talk a bit about what it does and its relationship to the larger community? Because it is separate from what you do, but it does help a great deal.
Yes, it's under the auspices of the social services for the county, and I think they felt that there were food banks and school programs and so forth that some were better operated than others, some were better funded, some had, you know, but they looked at the total picture and said, I think, you know, we need something to help us with the food security issue. With families at risk and so forth. So they decided to set up the Food for All warehouse program. And I think they serve something like 35 different agencies because it's a big county. You know, when you think of Warkworth all the way over to Port Hope, there's a big territory to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very appreciative of their help. We're there weekly picking up supplies, and we get about 20%, I think, of our supplies from them.
It's interesting. You mentioned a term, food security. Most people would know what that means. Could you just take a moment and maybe explain to us what it means when you talk about food security?
Well, you know, in terms of the general welfare of families in the community, we see situations where you know, there's a lot of there's poverty that exists, and there's and when, especially when you're thinking of children,
mm-hmm.
You have to think, well, you know, is the population's needs being met? And that's certainly, you know, we have to look at it in terms of nutrition, overall health, and nutrition obviously plays a big role mm-hmm. in you know, person's physical health, mental health, and if a family has to choose between heat and having something to eat,
exactly,
you know, you've got issues.
That's,
you know,
that's where the food insecurity comes from, right? Having to make those kinds of decisions. And we've all seen those ads on television where you see the mom, she's making food on the stove, and as she does that, all of a sudden, they're not in an apartment anymore. They're out on the street,
yeah.
right? So those are and the ad says, you know, this should not be a decision that families have to make.
And you know, we see this all the time. And when you think of, I mean, this weather today reminded me of the brutal winter we had last year
mm-hmm.
and the ice storm and the power outages. I mean, it was a terrible winter last year. And they say it's not going to be that great a winter this year. And the price of hydro is going through the roof
yep.
now. So it's, you know, it can be tough. It can be very, very tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting. We talk in terms of a national security and that we have armies that make us feel safe in our country. We talk mm-hmm. about, you know, police and security and feeling safe in our communities. I always think of food security in the same way, you know, that ability to feel safe that you have the things that you need. Mm-hmm. To
exactly.
live.
Heat, exactly.
A roof over your head, something to eat. And so when we talk about food security to me, I always think of it in those terms that, you know, I know that I'm not going to go through a day and be worried about whether I'm going to eat or not. Mm-hmm. And so that's really, really important.
So, our families can come to the food bank and they get a few days worth of supplies and food. And one of the other big advancements, I think, that in the last couple of years with Fair Share is our ability to improve the menu of what we're offering.
Right.
We are offering a lot more fresh food. We instituted a program 2 years ago called Need Milk, and now we're offering fresh milk to all our families. We're working with local farmers and orchards to get fresh apples, vegetables.
The provincial government's brought forth their initiative as well with regards to offering a tax break to farmers that donate to food banks.
That's just getting seeded in now.
It's just starting now, exactly. Yeah.
But we hope that bears fruit, shall we say, in terms of – because it's a 25% credit on the value of the food.
And that's right.
So the farmers are just getting used to that now, and we're out there talking about it. So we hope that it can be a big boost to it, because I think I like the notion of, local producers and gardeners providing food for local families, for the local families in need. So,
we've mentioned a lot about helping out families. How many people do you help every month? Do you know?
It varies, but I'd say we're helping about 1,200 families in the Port Hope and Cobourg area.
Wow.
And there's a number of statistics that we could talk about. We probably distribute about 300,000 pounds of food a year. And I'm sorry, it's a bit more than that at this stage. It's about 360,000 pounds, and it's the retail value of that is just below $1 million.
And that's for the year?
Yes.
So just under $1 million for the year can feed, or at least help feed, 1,200 families a month.
That's right.
That's not a lot of money, is it?
No. I mean, we're not, by any means, we're not the total answer. Like, we provide a few days per visit. When somebody comes to the food bank, a lot of people arrive on foot, so it's as much as they can carry in some cases. But one thing I can tell you, because of the generosity of people in this community, we've been able to increase food distribution by about 25%.
Wow.
So that's been a great achievement. I don't like to use the words like achievement and success when you're talking about food banks, because those words are better for when we don't need food banks,
Well, that's the ultimate goal, right?
Right.
But, I mean, you should still be able to count the successes. I mean, every time you feed a family, that's a success. Every time a child doesn't have to go to school hungry, that's a success. Right. So, I mean, I personally don't see a problem with talking about those in terms of successes. I think I want to go back quickly to the history on this. I mean, the first food bank in Canada. Now, this is according to Wikipedia. So who knows how accurate this is. But the first food bank in Canada opened its doors in 1981 in the city of Edmonton, Alberta. And in 1987, the Canadian Food Bank Communities created the Canadian Association of Food Banks to represent food banks nationally. Currently, according to Wikipedia, over 700 food banks nationally with over 3,000 programs available in Canada. And just some of the stats, 37% of those assisted are children. Again, that's roughly in with the national average, so my numbers were a little off earlier. 50% of assisted households have at least one child. For 20% of assisted households, their primary source of income is current or recent employment.
Yes.
A lot of them are unemployed or they're working underemployed.
Yes. And then, people get laid off, too. Like,
absolutely.
There's a lot of seasonal employment out there. Mm-hmm. I just learned that, there's a number of people in Port Hope that got laid off from one of the manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be a tough winter, to get through.
Well, let's talk about last winter, because you had some interesting anecdotes, about what happened last year when there was the power outage and how you managed to turn that that lemon into lemonade, if you will. I mean, really, well, that's a success as well.
As I mentioned earlier, we've got a fantastic team of volunteers, and we're very nimble, and we can jump when we need to. And we had a situation in Port Hope where the Giant Tiger store, its power went out, and they were told they weren't going to get power back for like 3 or 4 days. So they called us and said, you know, we've got all this frozen meat, chicken, that it's all frozen, it's fine, but it's going to thaw, so can you guys get over here and get it? And luckily our power had not gone out, so we grabbed the opportunity. We jumped in the van and headed over there, and it was about $5,000 worth of product that we were able to save and distribute to our families, which was just great. But it was just the other thing that happened in Cobourg. Our power did go out because the circuit breakers, because of a power surge, flipped, and we didn't know about that for a day and a half. So unfortunately, some product did unthaw, which we had to discard. But there was a lot of chickens and turkeys that were thawing, but they were still fine. So we called up the Knights of Columbus. Jim Blaney, who is a volunteer with us, had access to the kitchen at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Cobourg. And so we roasted something like 1,000 pounds worth of poultry.
Wow.
And we were able to donate that to the Salvation Army, actually. So it went to good use. But it's just a good example of how our volunteers are very dedicated, mm-hmm. and, you know, over the Christmas holidays, jumping into action to help out.
And that really does sort of give the best example of community partners as well. I mean, for Giant Tiger to think, oh, my goodness, we're going to lose this. What can we do? Do we just throw it out? And yep. Thankfully, you know, FoodShare was there to come along and be able to use that. Yep. And so many families that would have benefited from that.
And, you know, I can't say enough about how generous people are mm-hmm. around here. It's, you know, when we go out to do fundraising, we get so much fantastic response. And one of the things I want to do more, we need more volunteers to help us with fundraising.
You know what? On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with more Truly Local Radio here, Northumberland 89.7. It's the Wednesday drive time with Rob Washburn and myself. It's Consider This Live, and joining us in the studio, Duncan McKinnon from FoodShare here.
Fair Share.
Thank you. Fair Share Food Banks. It's hard to keep all the shares together. Anyway, here's a quick word from some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back with more right after this.
You've gone and done it again. You agreed to plan your company's dinner party. Where will you hold it this year? Of course. There's nowhere better to hold large events than at the Legion Hall in Cobourg. Hold your receptions and private parties at the Legion Hall, and you can get them catered. Call Shelley at 905-372-6554 and book the Legion for your event today. And call Sue at 905-342-2087 for catering. The Royal Canadian Legion Branch 133 is located at 136 Orr Street in Cobourg. Call 905-372-2231 to become a member today.
Northumberland County is known for its beautiful towns, heritage homes, cozy suburbs, and all the fields in between. Nobody could be hungry, cold, alone, or homeless. Not our neighbors. Or are they? Last year, 274 people turned to Transition House. Each found a safe, clean bed, hot meals, and help from our caring staff and volunteers in getting their lives back together. For more information on what we provide or to volunteer, call 905-377-0378 or visit us at 10 Chapel Street in Cobourg.
Community Care Northumberland has been giving strength through caring to the residents of Northumberland County for over 25 years. Experience a higher quality of life with the help of Community Care Northumberland, providing help with meals, making visits to your home, transportation services, palliative care, and more, all coordinated through Community Care Northumberland's 6 area offices. For more information about Community Care Northumberland, visit their website at comcare.ca. That's commcare.ca. Interested in volunteering? Give them a call at 1-866-514-5774. Community Care Northumberland is there for you and your family.
check engine. Oh, man.
Don't worry. I'm here for you.
Oh, good. Wait, who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and you need what I've got.
Really?
Visit Midas, and I'll look after your engine. I can also service your brakes, rotate your tires, change the oil, everything you need, and nothing you don't.
Like, right now?
Yes, now. I literally have nothing better to do.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Coburg for a $24 oil change, and we'll check your car's vitals for free on most vehicles. For details, call Midas at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
The views and opinions expressed during the Drive Time with Dave Glover are those of Dave and his guests, and not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment for Dave? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321.
Someone's dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's Good News Week. Someone's found a way to give the rotting dead a will to live, go on and never die. Have you heard the news? What did it say?
And welcome back to the Drive Time here, Northumberland 89.7. I'm Dave Glover. Joining me this afternoon, Rob Washburn for Consider This Live, and Duncan McKinnon. He was here from Fair Share. We're talking about the food bank, the food drive. Rob, you had some numbers you wanted to talk about during the break.
You know, we were talking about government commitment and how much a difference it could make. You know, Dave, if they were to take the $3 billion that they're going to spend on the federal income splitting, and they put that into the National Child Benefit, it would literally double the program and thereby reduce child poverty, they estimate, by about 26%.
And that would affect every family, not just less than 14%.
Every family would benefit by that. The other thing that's really interesting, you know, there's about 2,000 children a day in Northumberland County who are fed by school nutritional programs. Hard to believe, but, you know, kids go into school hungry. Mm-hmm. It makes it hard for them to learn, and there's about 2,000 kids that fall into that. That back in 2008, there were 4,000 families in Northumberland with children that lived in poverty. Hard to believe that many. You know, it's also hard to believe, too. I mean, in a county of 82,000 people, this is a 2013 statistic, out of the 82,000 people that live in Northumberland, 12%, approximately 12% of the population lives in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the work that Duncan's doing here is really, really important. It's hard to believe that it's so vital to have these kinds of services in place. And while they're not institutionalized, they are so important. And I think it's good that people are volunteering and helping out. What sort of programs do you have coming up?
It is the 'tis the season of giving. And mm-hmm. I think the community often expects us to be out there doing fundraising and doing food drive type programs. So we are very, very active.
Mm-hmm.
We have a program. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. The one of the big ones coming up on December the 6th, the police forces have combined for Port Hope and Coburg for a Cram the Cruiser food drive program, and we're going to be at 5 locations. We're going to be at No Frills and Walmart in Coburg, and then in Port Hope we'll be at Metro, Giant Tiger, and the Independent Grocer. All on the same day with the police forces. And at each location we're going to cram a police van or cram a police cruiser with donations, with groceries and so forth. And I tell you, the police are very effective fundraisers. When you've got police standing in front of the grocery store saying, "Hello, how are you?" people respond.
And don't forget the food bank on your way out, right? And that's the other thing, too. Almost every food store that is in, even places like Shoppers Drug Mart have places where you can donate food.
We have bins that we collect from a couple of times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been very, very generous.
Do you encourage retailers to take bins? I know when I ran the Human Bean on King Street, we had a bin during the Christmas drive.
We have it 52 weeks of the year, the bins in mm-hmm. those stores. And it's a big source of donations for us. Huge.
It's got to be tough, though. You're competing with the United Way for funding. I mean, they're looking to raise $1 million this year. That's quite a goal for the United Way. Is the United Way sort of an assistant with Fair Share? Like, do you get any assistance financially from the United
Way?
We're
not affiliated with United Way.
Okay.
But we do cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in touch with them every month. And we cooperate with all of the social service type agencies within the county, Salvation Army, Cornerstone, any number of groups, so that we're as efficient as possible. We're helping them out as much as Greenwood Coalition as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about you? We hear about the Christmas hampers and people putting together baskets of food for Christmas time and for Christmas feasts. How is that integrated, or is it not, into the food bank?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I mean, the Salvation Army Christmas Hamper program is a huge deal. It's a massive effort, and they do a spectacular job. They're going to have something like 850 hampers put together.
Wow!
And they take over a huge space to assemble that, and we're cooperating with them actually. In that for people that miss the deadline and do not register for a hamper, we're kind of filling in. So late registrants, the food bank in Cobourg and Port Hope will be putting hampers together to give to people.
How soon can folks apply for a hamper, and when is the cutoff date for something like that?
Cutoff's coming up. It's like the 1st of December. So people need to register for those. And if they go to the Salvation Army website, they'll see the locations of where they can do that. And they can go to the Salvation Army offices themselves to do that.
Now, I understand that if you are employed or underemployed, as I like to say, here in Northumberland County, you can only go to certain food banks. And if you're on social assistance, you can go to other food banks. Is that the case
here?
That's not the case. Okay,
with
good.
Fair Share, we don't there's no, restrictions that way.
Okay. No, I had heard that from folks on assistance here.
We have people fill out a form that for our database that just so that we have a contact information and ID, you know. We want to be fair to everybody. In other words, we don't want, some families getting twice as much as others, kind of thing. So we have to have some
record.
Control mechanism that
right.
way. And
right.
But it's our objective to be as generous as we can be. Thankfully, again, I got to say, people in this county are great. And whenever we go out to do fundraising, we get a tremendous response.
Well, we know the Pump Up Food Share is coming this weekend. That's Saturday, November 22nd at your independent gas bar in Port Hope. They are hosting Northumberland's Food Share Bank. Food Shares wants to pump up food inventories for the winter so you can help local families through your donations. Fair Share greatly appreciates any generous support for 2014. And, actually, people can donate sort of on a regular basis, right? I mean, if you want to sign up as a regular donor, just like you would to PBS, for instance, if
yes.
you want to be a VIP donor, or you want to donate to our radio station here, you can also donate cash as well as food, right?
Yeah, you just have to go to our website, fairshare.ca, and you can click on the button Donate Now. And we're affiliated with an outfit called CanadaHelps.org. And what that you're able to donate instantly, and you'll get a tax receipt, CRA tax receipt, instantaneously by email as well. So that's a really convenient way to help out.
Back in 2013, the Northumberland Poverty Action Group delivered its report, and it talked about food security, and it identified a number of goals for food security. There were three. They talked about the need for collaboration, for a common set of goals for those who provide food security in the Northumberland. They also talked about increased accessibility to nutritious food and an increase in a path to find job security. Those were the three goals that they put out there for that. I'm wondering, you've been talking a lot about the way that you work cooperatively with these various organizations already, but could you maybe talk a bit about accessing nutritious food and maybe this broader goal of trying to increase or make it easier for people to find job security, which in the end would possibly lead to better food security?
Yeah, now that's one that we would have a real challenge dealing with as a food bank in terms of finding jobs for people. But on the other two points, I can say that we participate with the Northumberland Poverty Reduction Action Committee. Out of those meetings, we felt, for example, that within the food bank, we wanted to set up a nutrition committee. And their job is to see how we can improve the menu and the diet of our families. So we're looking at ways, and that manifests itself in terms of our increase in fresh food, fresh milk, meat, vegetables, fruit. We're looking for products that have more fiber, less sodium, less sugar, mm-hmm. all those things that everybody's conscious of today. So we want to be in step with the way society is going. And so some of the prepared foods that are donated to us, and everybody, everybody likes cookies and crackers and candy, and, that's part of everyday life too. But we got to make sure, particularly when we're dealing with, again, the 36% that are children, in terms of their health, that we're providing healthy food products. So our nutrition committee is looking at ways that we can improve the menus.
You know, Dave, it's interesting when you and I were talking about the municipal election and the importance of mm-hmm. economic development in this area. And we don't think of it in terms of just getting people jobs as a matter of being employed, but it relates to this issue of food security. If you're well employed, you've got a good job full time, you've got benefits, yeah. et cetera, that means you're going to be able to buy groceries.
Exactly.
You're going to be able to feed your family properly and give them that sort of thing.
Northumberland, it's there are challenges, and mm-hmm. towards there's been a lot of layoffs, a lot of commercial enterprises have closed, and for young people in particular today, in terms of getting employment, it's a struggle.
Well, you talked about the size.
Unless you go out to Alberta and,
Well, that's what the most recent reports in business news said. Go out west. Thank you, Fraser Institute. What about the rest of us here and the rest of the country? But, you raise a good point about the size of the riding. I mean, one of the things that also happens when you have food security is you become stranded. I mean, you live in some of the areas of this riding without a vehicle. You're strapped. I mean, if you've got to choose between putting gas in your car or putting food in your belly, those are the tough choices.
We help, and on that note, I wanted to mention that we cooperate with other food banks in, for example, Bewdley and in other towns because they aren't as advantaged. Mm-hmm. A lot of towns now, they don't have a grocery store anymore. They don't have, and again, the transportation issue. Mm-hmm. And so we do what we can to share our generous bounty that is donated to us.
Well, I want to give the listeners an idea here, okay? Who uses food banks in Canada? This is from foodbanks.ca. 15 times the population of Nova Scotia. 14 million people in Canada use. That's 15 times the population of Nova Scotia use food banks or have used food banks in 2014. 841,191 Canadians use food banks each and every month. You could fill the Rogers Centre 17 times with that many people. 310,461 children, just to give you an idea, folks, are helped each and every month. And that's the equivalent of 6,200 school buses of children. One in six people are currently working those are the numbers. I mean, 64% of people's income is going to rent. 64% of food bank users pay market rents, right? Canadians in rural communities, this includes us here, including rural communities, rely on the food bank. 47% of children in Nunavut don't know where their next meal is coming from. Again, just an idea, folks, okay? What is it? Why do Canadians need food banks? We talked about this. Massive loss of well-paying blue-collar jobs. Too many young people without skills for today's labor market. Again, that's questionable. Seniors and disabled pensioners aren't able to cover their basic needs at this point. And there's inadequate social programs for people facing hard times. And as Rob said, if they took that $3.5 billion back from the income splitting, okay, that only benefits 14% at the very most Canadians, that money would go a long way. And what was the number you said? Triple?
It would double. Double. The national child benefit, and that would take 26% of the children out of poverty.
26% would be taken out of poverty.
Dave, here's something that just blew me away. When I was preparing for this, I didn't believe this, but a family of four in Northumberland, they spend about $186 a week mm-hmm. on nutritional groceries. That's what it would cost you if you wanted to feed a family of four with nutritional food. And that's up $8 from the year before.
That's right.
And price of food is going through the roof.
It's yep. just crazy. So, you know, it's no wonder, you know, when we have precarious employment, when we have people scrambling with part-time jobs, it's just phenomenal. I read a piece today about a woman who said, you know, if I didn't live in poverty as a kid, my whole life would have been so much different. If the government had followed through on its 1989 commitment to end child poverty in this country. Mm-hmm. And I know they've done things in Ontario, you know, it's crazy.
I got to say, though, too, locally, we're the people around here look after one another, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one thing I noticed when I moved here from Toronto, in terms of the community spirit, and in terms of helping out, and there's a great support system, mm-hmm. you know, that's maybe informal, but it's kind of a more of a small town kind of mm-hmm. sensibility.
And you must see that firsthand, being on the front line.
Oh yeah, and you know, but it's so much of that is comes from our volunteers too, and because they do more than just hand out food. You know, mm-hmm. they inspire, they make people feel good, they have relationships with our families coming in. So you know, people leave the food bank, you know, feeling a lot better about things,
exactly.
about life in general, and knowing that they've got sustenance for mm-hmm. you know, a few days and the odd treat. And you know, we try to do a bit more at Christmas time by, you know, including you know, the type of things that we all love to enjoy at Christmas at the dinner table. So
mm-hmm. Well, and there seems to be less of a stigma attached to folks going to the food bank now. I mean, back in the 1980s when it started off, or when I was growing up, I mean, my mother worked at the Fred Victor Mission in Toronto. And back then, when people were coming in for food, you know, it was really a bad thing. You know, it wasn't something that you know you didn't walk out of the food bank feeling, you know, any better off than you did when you walked in.
I think there's still some of that stigma that exists, but it, you know, it shouldn't. It's mm-hmm. like anything else. As society evolves, you know, you got to understand if you don't have the money, if you can't afford to pay your heating bill or whatever, you know, you got to eat. You know, and we're here. And I have no qualms. I have full confidence in our volunteer team to meet the challenge. And if it's a growing challenge, they'll be there to help.
Well, I want to congratulate, since I've got you here, and I did this the other day, but I want to again congratulate the students at St. Mary's Secondary School here in Cobourg, their staff and facility, for their outstanding teamwork for Tackle Hunger Thanksgiving Food Drive. They raised 1,110 pounds of food, and that was donated to Fair Share Food Bank.
St. Mary's is terrific.
They do. You know what? These kids, it's kids today. You know, I don't care. You know, you get all these people, the kids today are so, you know, they're ornery, or they're no different than they were when I was their age. Yeah. I gotta say that.
And there's great leadership at that school.
That's it.
Both faculty, administration, and of course the students too.
Well, that's what it comes down to, right? And this is the kind of thing. I mean, giving starts at home, but it's not just about giving that starts at home. It's understanding about giving that starts at home. That whole charitable side of being a human being, that starts at home. It has to start at home.
Absolutely. Duncan, do you have anything, as we're wrapping up here, is there anything, you, a particular message you want to leave with the listeners about the food bank?
Well, again, I just want to thank our community here for being as generous as they've been over the years. We're heading into a cold, bitter winter again, it seems, mm-hmm. and our needs grow over the winter because of mobility. Like, it's tougher for us to get out in the winter, just like everybody, and so we like to try and stock up. And some of the items that we need are canned vegetables. One of the things we're trying to do now with soup is we'd like to get dried soup as opposed to canned soup. Our supply of canned soup is quite strong,
mm-hmm.
but dried soup, for those particularly who are carrying the food away, it's lighter.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. So we're able to get more, we're able to give more of everything in that sense. So when you're out and about, through this holiday season, you're going to see us doing fundraising. We're going to be in the Santa Claus Parade in Port Hope on the 29th. And so we'll be collecting there. So we want to be sure that we're well stocked for the winter. And, but again, I have no, qualms about how generous people are, and I know that as they've done in the past, they'll help us out.
Well, I want to thank you for coming into the studio today. It was a great pleasure to meet with you and speak with you about Fair Share Food Bank. Anytime you want to come back in, you've got another event that's coming in. You've got stuff coming up in December as well. We always
maybe
have the
I'll
door
come
open.
Back in the spring and talk about our Grow a Row program when. We want gardeners to grow vegetables on our behalf.
Oh, there you go.
And, typically at the end of the season, people end up with all kinds of excess produce,
mm-hmm.
and we would love to get that at the food
bank. Oh, that sounds like a fantastic idea.
So I'll come back in the spring.
We'll definitely have you back. Duncan McKinnon from Fair Share Food Bank. Rob Washburn from ConsiderThis.ca. Thanks, Rob, for being in here today. Going out, we're going to send you with George Harrison's Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth. And remember, charity starts at home, folks. And that's what we have to raise our kids to understand.